have the business you want, or is it driving you crazy? A recent survey said 70% of business owners are dissatisfied with some aspect of their business. That's why we created Driving Biz, the number one source of business information. We have the leading experts from around the world as guests each week. So enjoy and love your business.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is Susan Anderson, and she's a John C. Maxwell certified coach, speaker, and trainer. Now, she helps business leaders who are struggling with employment disengagement and high turnover rates. By implementing servant leadership, her clients enjoy a thriving culture with soaring customer satisfaction and continuous higher profits. Welcome, Susan.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here, Alan.
Excellent. Now, you probably know of several leadership styles. Why did you seize on servant leadership?
That's a great question. I'm glad it was the first one. I had been asked by a couple who owned a real estate franchise in Florida to grow their company big enough so that it would be something worth selling so that they'd have a nice retirement. So we agreed to one thing right off the bat was they would take hands off and let me do my thing. And I was drafting out a business plan and had to stop and get something at the store. And while I was in the checkout line, I saw packages of stickers, the kinds that teachers would give to their students for a good job on a report or a homework assignment. And I thought, you know, this is a good thing to put on the pay stubs of their commission checks. And I think it just a little fun. I did balloons on birthdays, and I was astonished as I was walking around the office to find that in their workspaces, they were tacking up the stickers on their pay stubs and were competing for stickers. And, you know, you don't get a sticker unless you have a sale and get a commission. So the company was benefiting from that. I was a Ken Blanchard and a John Maxwell fan early on, about 30 years ago. And when Ken Blanchard started talking about servant leadership and John Maxwell started talking about servant leadership, I looked into it, and it kind of jived with some of what I was already doing. And I employed the business style and philosophies of servant leadership and grew the company from 25 agents in one office to 65 agents in two offices. And my clients were able to sell the company to their biggest competitor and have a very nice retirement.
Well, that's huge. And that just shows the value of servant leadership and how it can grow a company. Have you taken other businesses to that extent?
I've worked with my coaching clients in transitioning their companies from a top-down command and control leadership style to servant leadership. I have not personally owned a company that operated with a servant leadership style, but I've worked in the field for 30 years.
And that's huge. And that shows the benefit of adopting a different style than the top-down approach.
Right.
The biggest problem with the top-down approach, it requires the bosses to be there all the time.
Right. Right. And, you know, when a company gets started, the CEO is at the top of the pyramid because he or she is the only guy there. And as the company begins to grow and the CEO is now bringing in people to work, they're working under him. And it becomes a management stacking pyramid where you've got the CEO at the top, senior leadership under him or her. Then you've got middle management. Then you've got at the bottom of the pyramid, you've got the frontline workers. And underneath the pyramid, not where they're supposed to be, is our customers. So it just, companies develop that way if they don't know any different.
Right. Well, you also have gotten big time into coaching programs.
Right.
What does an organization need to know to get started with your coaching program?
Well, if they're an existing corporation, and my clients are typically mid-sized companies, bigger than mom and pops, smaller than a board of directors, if they're interested in getting started and transitioning to servant leadership, it's a big task, and it takes time. And I've found over the years that having a coach to guide them along the way, take them one step at a time to transition to servant leadership, helps them do it faster with fewer setbacks.
Yeah, that's huge. Now, the other thing we mentioned in your introduction is there's a huge problem with employee disengagement and turnover.
Right.
How does servant leadership help with that?
Well, we all have heard about the Great Resignation, and many people assume that it ended when COVID ended, and that's not the case. In 2021, 41.5 million people voluntarily left their jobs. And in 2022 through August, 4.5 million people on average are voluntarily quitting. So turnover, when you consider to replace an employee, it costs a company between 100 and 200% of that employee's salary to replace them. So it doesn't take a lot of math to realize that if you've got high turnover, you're going to kill the company. One thing that servant leadership does to stem that flow is the employee or teammate is definitely valued and appreciated. And it goes without saying that if a person is valued, they value what they do.
Now, that's huge. Let's take a step back for a minute. What is servant leadership? We've talked about it in various terms, but I'm not sure if all our listeners understand it in the way that you or I do.
A good point, real good point, Alan. A lot of people stumble on the word servant and go, oh, this is churchy. Or, you know, my company has 250 employees. I'm not going to be a servant to all of them. And I think we stumble on the word servant by mistake. Servant leadership is a business philosophy, the principles of which is, instead of the CEO at the top of the pyramid grabbing the power, the pyramid turns upside down with the CEO on the bottom empowering the people that work in his organization. So when you're sharing that power, you feel enabled, you feel appreciated and valued. You know, there's an old story that says, if you're going to hire somebody to mop the floors, let them pick out the mop. And that's just an illustration of allowing the employees to have input in the way they are managing what they're responsible for on a day-to-day basis.
That's huge. Are there other examples how employees can give insight and help without necessarily totally steering the ship?
Yeah. And you know, there are going to be activities and decisions that the top management is going to have to make, irrespective of what's going on the main floor. And that doesn't change. But communication is essential. I think it's imperative that senior management who is struggling with disengagement and turnover, get out of his office and walk around and lead by walking around and meeting people, get to know the people. You know, if you don't know your employees' first names, there's a disconnect there.
Yeah, and I think the disconnect started when companies got too big for management to really become involved with the frontline workers.
Right.
They became managers, and the frontline workers became the workers, and there was this big disconnect, and middle management got in between trying to steer the ship. And
right.
That's where things really got out of hand.
Right. That really is it plugs things up. And you're right. You described it perfectly. You know, as the company grows, the CEO hires somebody, and then they turn the responsibility over to whoever, you know, the accounting department or the HR department. And they're so busy with other things, they get too uninvolved.
And I think it's part of the structure as well. I think it was Lee Iacocca who said, he only had like 45 minutes to work in his business a day after he was handling all the other stuff that was thrown
out. Right. Yeah. We need to stop putting out fires and prevent the fires from starting.
Yeah. And we need to take the doors off those offices.
Right.
And turn off these systems like iPhones that are going off all the time and literally communicate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Manage by walking around. And I use the word manage sometimes in one direction and others. And really, management is what we do. Leadership is who we are.
Yeah. And so I think what you're advocating is really what a lot of companies want to do. And that is to lead by doing, not just by saying and pushing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, sometimes that's easier said than done.
That's why I have a 12-month coaching program, because it's a big change. And my clients, when they come to me, they've already understood and bought into the what and the why of servant leadership. It's the how that scares them. You know, you changing a culture in an ongoing business is not without risks. So if you do it right and you know what steps to take in what order, it makes things a whole lot easier. And, you know, when the frontline workers and the middle managers see the top brass walking around and digging their hands in, it's very motivating. It's exciting.
Oh, that's huge. I think that's may also avert some of these crises we see where workers go on strike because they feel that there is this disconnect between the bosses and the workers.
Right. Gallup Research recently did a study on the benefits of servant leadership. And companies that are operating under the principle of servant leadership experience 50% less turnover.
Well, that's pretty important. 50% less turnover. And in these days where turnover is rampant, that is pretty significant.
Right. And it's interesting to see who's actually quitting the jobs and moving to other companies. And in large part, it's the millennials and Gen Zs. They don't thrive in that top-down command and control leadership style.
That is interesting.
Yeah, and they make up 46% of the workforce today. Are millennials and Gen Zs.
Yeah, that would be significant. And they haven't literally lived in that world of a top-down management either.
Right.
They live in a different world So we can't expect them to understand and to want to be part of that.
Right. Nobody really wants to be bossed around.
I wonder why. I think that is part of the thing. There is no one wants to be bossed. And you said the word quite appropriately, bossed around.
Yeah.
There's different ways to communicate than to be bossed around.
Right. And I think the first step in good communication is active listening. You know, if you're not looking at somebody in the eye when you're talking to them, you're not active listening. If you're framing your next question before you hear the answer to the first one, you're not active listening. If you're looking at your watch or checking your cell phone, you're not active listening. And that's, I think listening is the first step in good communication.
Yeah. So I guess I would refer to servant leadership as leading through listening rather than anything else. That's probably how I define it.
Yep, that's true. You got it.
Yeah, well, that's a good way of positioning it in today's workplace and in today's world. I think the listening part has to come first, and then getting the buy-in, and then getting the workers to help facilitate the plan rather than you putting the plan together and expecting them to buy it.
Right. Right. And, you know, when people ask me for an illustration that helps them understand servant leadership better, I use a little story of the last time you were in the grocery store. Who did you have the most contact with? And it would be the baggers and the checkout clerks. And who do you suppose is paid the least? And that's the baggers and the checkout clerks. And so if you picture the last time you were in the grocery store and you interacted with these folks, did they seem happy to see you, or were they kind of indifferent, or, you know, they don't love their jobs. It's a job. But now take the manager of the store and have him get to know each and individual employee, and they get a little bonus for clocking in on time 7 days in a row. Just that one little step, they feel acknowledged and valued. And so now they value what they do, and that translates to customer service.
Yeah. Now, this show is called Driving Biz. And it's about the drivers of business in the 21st century. Servant leadership is obviously part of that. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to integrate it and make it more of a part of it?
Yeah, you need a coach. You need somebody who will work there with you. In my coaching program, before we even get started, I do a SWOT analysis to identify where the threats or obstacles are coming.
Now, I know what a SWOT analysis is. I'm not sure everybody
knows
what the SWOT stands for.
Sure. It's a four acronyms. T is threat. O is opportunity. So you're taking a picture of the company. And the way I do it is I start with senior leadership and have them identify where the threats and where the opportunities are coming, where the weaknesses and where the strengths are. So there's your first, those are the initials. S is for strength, W is weakness, O is opportunity, and T is threats. And when you find out where those are within the company, then I gather a cross-company, cross-function committee, ideally 10 to 12 people. And they could be anywhere from, if we use the grocery store analogy, they could be anywhere from a checkout clerk to the regional manager. And we meet with them and they identify the strengths and weaknesses. And surprisingly, they're often different than what senior management sees. So we do the SWOT analysis, and that'll take us about a month. And then I get back together again with senior leadership and let them know what I have found and where the biggest obstacles are for them to start working on the obstacles before we really get too far down the road with servant leadership implementation. The other thing that I do is a change readiness assessment. And some people are hardwired to reject change of any sort. And other people embrace change as an adventure. Well, it's important to know where our terrorists are hiding in the company and deal with it before we start implementing the change.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than starting on something and you have people that sabotage everything along the way,
right,
either intentionally or non-intentionally.
Right. And oftentimes it's the middle managers that are most threatened by change and oftentimes will sabotage the effort. They're the sandwich generation. They report up and they have responsibility down.
Yeah, and they often do not want to change because they're threatened by the change.
Right, right. It makes their job more complicated.
Yeah, and that means that if you change for the better, they have to work harder. And right, if you change for the worse, they have to work harder.
Right. It takes about 4 months. And that's the eye-popping, oh my gosh, this stuff really works. It takes about 4 months for that to really seep in to the culture of the company. And it can't happen without identifying the core values of the individuals who are responsible for driving the organization.
Yeah, I think if
I had anything to do over in the businesses that I ran, I would have clearly established my core values before I touched the first customer.
Yeah, that's huge. I think probably another dimension would to bring this analysis into the customers as well.
Oh, because yes.
They want change for the better.
Right.
And that is another layer that has to be addressed.
Right. If you start losing customers and your vendors aren't giving you the kind of pricing that they used to, you need to assess what's going on outside the organization to see where it reflects within the organization.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, some people are afraid of higher prices, but higher prices are not necessarily the problem. What is the problem is value.
And right, right.
Value has to be given to customers.
Right. And that part of the implementation I call customer centricity. They need to be focused on the customer. If the customer is happy, everyone is happy.
Yeah, that's huge. We are almost at the end of our time together, Susan. How can people find out more about you, your programs, and your soon-to-be-released book?
Yes, yes. The book comes out in a couple of months. It's called The Path to Servant Leadership. It's a how-to guide. And what makes it unique, Alan, is there are about 50,000 books on leadership right now. There's only about 700 books on servant leadership. There's not one that gives a detailed step-by-step roadmap on how to implement servant leadership in an ongoing culture. And that's what my book does. How they can get a hold of it or speak to me. My website is Susan Rennie, R-E-N-N-I, Anderson.com.
Excellent. Well, Susan, I can't tell you how much I was looking forward to this show And I knew we were going to make a significant difference in our listeners' lives today.
I hope so.
So thank you so much for spending this time.
You're so welcome. It's been my pleasure.
Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, please check out my website as well, Dr. Ellen Lyka, that's DrAllenLycka. In addition to doing consulting for businesses, which I give a free 15-minute discovery session, by the way, I also do lecturing and speaking. So if you need a speaker at your next corporate event, please consider me. I'd look forward to being part of your team and helping your team along. Bye for now.
We hope you enjoyed Driving Biz, where you get the advice of the leading experts of the world. If you want more, you need to join the number one community for business owners, NoBull.biz. And for a limited time, you can join at a discounted rate. To learn more, go to NoBull.biz.